Well, praise the Lord. It's an awesome privilege to be able to bring the word today. And I agree with Pastor Jay. What a glorious day we celebrate today. And my topic today actually is the cross must be the center. It's got to be the center of our lives. Amen? And it can only be the cross. Everything just flows out of that place. So, Father, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning that we get to celebrate. Lord, when others are mourning and being so sad because they don't understand, Lord, we celebrate because this is the day you set us free. Lord, this is the day you took the chains off of us. We were on the auction block like slaves to be sold to the devil. And Lord, you came along and stood in our place instead. And you set us free and you said, go, live your life. Lord, we thank you today, Father, for the abundance your death brought us. Lord, we thank you today. Holy Spirit, would you just come? And Lord, would you just bring revelation to us as I walk through the 9 exchanges we received. Father, let revelation come to people in areas where, Lord, they haven't understood it. That by faith they can reach in this morning and say, now I get it and I receive it. So, Lord, have your way in this place. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a lot of scripture because that's just how I've always taught. And but this morning, I just want to show you what happened on what we call Good Friday. So I'm going to start off with John 19, verses 28 to 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. And they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he, bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is finished in the Greek means to do something perfectly. Jesus perfectly fulfilled every prophetic word ever given about him in the Old Testament. He perfectly, completely fulfilled it. He also perfectly fulfilled the heart of his Father to come and be that perfect sacrifice for mankind because we were separated from the Father because of Adam's rebellion, his sin. So all of us, when we come into the world, tiny little babies, we all carry Adamic nature, a fallen nature. We're beautiful, we're cute, our families love us, but we have an Adamic nature. And that can only be changed to become new creations in Christ through yielding and accepting what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us. Nothing else changes it. That's why it's not by works. It's by grace and faith. I want to read this quote by Derek Prince because there's such controversy lately about the fact that there's some modern teaching going on that is error. And when I took this course for my doctorate, I thought, Lord, it's been written about throughout the ages. This isn't new theology. Derek Prince, 1900s, powerful theologian that taught the church. Direct quote from his book. What happened on the cross was a fact of history, but its significance transcends time. In that sacrifice, Jesus took on himself the sins of all people of all ages, past, present, and future. past, present, and future. So even the stuff I do after I'm saved, past, present, and future. I want to also make it clear, yes, we repent when we blow it. Yes, we do. We say, Lord, forgive me. That was not representing you well. And Lord, I don't see that in who you are. So Lord, make me like you. Forgive me. And if I need to go to someone, I go. Okay? So past, present, and future. Our limited human minds can hardly comprehend all that was accomplished through that one sacrifice. Your sin and the sins of all who have ever lived and of people not yet born came on Jesus through the eternal work of the Holy Spirit. He took the entire sin of the whole human race on himself. So on that Good Friday, when he hung on the cross, he took the sin of the whole human race, sickness, rebellion, disease, addiction, you name it. He took it all on himself. Why is it such a struggle for us to believe that Jesus Christ truly finished the work of salvation and that the sin issue was forever dealt with? Our place is to receive what he's done, apply it to our lives, yield our will to him, acknowledge that he is the only one that paid the price in full, and his blood is the only thing that can ever wash my sin away. Nothing else can. Nothing else can. I don't care how many good works I do, how good I am. I'm sure the evangelism team would say, they meet people over and over again, will say, well, I'm a good person. I haven't done anything bad. I haven't killed anybody. No, the issue is, I got a sin nature that has to be dealt with. That's the issue. And only Jesus' blood can deal with that issue. So in 1 Corinthians 1:23, Paul states, we preach Christ crucified. That's all Paul would preach. Paul knew the cross and the only answer. Paul knew that the cross was the only answer to the separation of mankind from the Father. He was a teacher of the law. And he understood the shedding of blood of bulls and goats and animals to cover our sin. He understood all that. He taught it. But Paul, on his encounter on the Damascus Road, a murderer like ISIS, pursuing the church with a passion and a zeal. He was zealous for his God, but it was the wrong kind of zeal. Knocked off his horse, met by Jesus, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Incredibly converted, became a brand new creation in Christ, and wrote our gospel. I preach only Christ crucified, the man said. Paul understood 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Paul also states in 1 Corinthians 1:25, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The cross is the foolishness and weakness of God. What could be more foolish than for God to permit his son to be crucified by sinners? Think about it. What could be seen as weaker than Jesus hanging on a criminal's cross? His body torn and bleeding, dying like a criminal in abject poverty. But Paul states clearly that this very weakness is stronger than men, and the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. The only once was the sacrifice to be offered. Once. It would never, ever, 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 throughout all of eternities, have to be repeated again. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What Jesus has done and how it would affect mankind was absolutely perfect and complete forever. That is why he cried, "It is finished. I've completed it. It's perfect. It's perfect." Romans 6, 4 to 11. "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified." Our old man was crucified. Come on, I'm going to say it again because we are always trying to kill our old man. He's dead. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. For all. Whoo! I mean, we should be celebrating. He died for all of us once. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. What Jesus did on the cross contained everything we'll need forever. Forever. Not only did he bear my sins, but my sicknesses, my pain, my disappointments, my shame, my guilt, my poverty, everything. We should be the richest, most victorious, most joyous people on the earth. We're supposed to be expanding his kingdom wherever we go. Because we have good news and we are filled with life. You said it. The Old Testament, the Jews understood it. That was life that was put over the door, and the angel of death passed by. Well, I'm telling you, the angel of death has passed by us. Amen? We're full of life. Not only did Jesus bear my sins, but my sickness and pain. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." We are healed. It's done. Our faith is what appropriates it. Amen? And sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it comes like this. And sometimes there's a walking out that has to happen. And in the middle of it, God's working. Amen? "All the evil due by justice to come to us came on Jesus, so that all the good due to Jesus, earned by his sinless obedience, might be made available to us." So let me give you the 9 exchanges. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Colossians 1:19-22, because scripture confirms itself, right? "For it pleases the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in the heavens, having made peace through the blood of the cross." So that brought peace to the world. We sing joy to the world and peace, right? At Christmas. But we sing it traditionally. Churchy, traditional. We don't understand that Jesus came to reconcile everything back to himself. And he finished that work. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. We are holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And you might say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I just did. No, I don't. But his blood cleanses you. And all you need to do is say, Lord, that wasn't like you. Forgive me. Change me so I don't do it again. And I think for some of us, truthfully, it is. Do we have any Kleenexes around? There we go. It is yielding. We have to yield more. Come on, let's be real. We have to yield. Say, well, I can't stop. Yes. Cry out to the Lord for the strength that's been provided because you don't have that nature anymore. And a new nature has to be activated. That part we do. We have to respond correctly. Say, well, I can't help myself. Yes, you can. His grace is sufficient. Sorry. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. I just have to turn to him. Amen? All things. The second exchange, Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. I already read Isaiah for you. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes or wounds you were healed. Were. It's done. Completed. So these things, these 9 points, church, we've got to appropriate them, and we've got to really go, Lord, help me to understand this so I can step into a faith level that I'm not still living from a religious mindset. Doesn't mean you're not saved, but we're not appropriating the fullness of what he's done. And that's the struggle. That's why Christians look so powerless, is because we're not appropriating what he really has done. The third one is Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. When we say righteous or just means just as if I had never ever sinned. Perfect, not guilty. That's what he took care of. Isn't that amazing? So when we say, the scripture says, know no man after the flesh. Because every person, man, woman, and child that knows Jesus as Lord and Savior is a new creation in Christ. We're to know them according to what the Holy Spirit has done. And are we in progress? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. The fourth one is, oh, hang on. Yes, the fourth one. Jesus died our death that we might share his life. Pastor Jay so wonderfully said that this morning. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. He tasted it for us. Our bodies might, you know, we may step out of these earth suits eventually to go to be with Jesus. But we're going to live forever. And eventually, at the sound of the trumpet, we get new bodies. Wonderfully new bodies. There is no death in him. Say, well, you die. No, you just fall asleep and step out of your earth suit is what you do. Amen? And you go to a better place. That all needs to be shifted in our thinking too. Like we're fighting. And I agree, a person dying young should not die young. That's a robbery. But when we've lived a full life and we're going to be with Jesus, it's like, my goodness, that's like going on a cruise, except a heavenly one, right? Amen. It's probably a weak interpretation, but you know what I mean. No one's going, oh, God, I got to go on a cruise. Everybody's going, yay, I get to go on a cruise. Yay, we get to go to heaven. What a gift. We know what the end of our journey is. Walking on streets of gold. Amen? Being with Jesus. Number 5, Jesus was made a curse that we might receive the blessing. Oh, that could be a preach for a day. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The word cursed is used three times in one sentence. People of the Old Testament clearly understood that Jesus was the curse when they saw it unfold. Redeem means to buy back. Instead of being cursed, we receive blessings. We receive blessings. Not as a shift again in our mindset that the Lord actually wants to bless us. Bless us abundantly so we can bless others. Right? He never meant for us to be just poverty and broken and hurting and all the rest of it. He meant for us to walk as a blessed people. Abraham was blessed. Abraham was rich. Abraham was blessed. And we've received Abraham's blessings. Wow. You know, when I want to start thinking negative, and I don't do it as much around Jack and I do it more sometimes when I'm working overseas and what is needed. And you know, that comes flooding in on me. Lord, how am I going to do all this? And I think, well, number one, I'm not doing it. But number two, I'm blessed. And so I'm learning little by little to reach in for those blessings that are needed. Amen? And so sometimes a check will come in out of nowhere. And I think, thank you, Lord. Here it is. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I keep reaching in. We got 51 elderly people we're feeding on a monthly basis. Amen. We've got 22 kids we're feeding every day, taking care of their schooling. All that, where is that coming from? Abraham's blessings. Thank you, Lord. Right? It's not in my pocket. So it's got to come from there. Sixth one is Jesus endured our poverty that we might share his abundance. That one we got to get. He became poor so we would be rich. And boy, we stumble over that. That's why Pastor Jay's been teaching on prosperity. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Then in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Abundance. He's the God of abundance. We got this religious mindset that came in somewhere back there that says, well, if you're going to be Christian, you got to be poor. Well, you can't do anything for the kingdom if you're poor, thank you. Jesus said, I've come to bring and give you abundance. Plenty, more than enough, so you can use it for other people. It's meant for the kingdom. Number 7, Jesus bore our shame that we might share his glory. Matthew 27:35-37. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. He was poor. He was laid in someone else's tomb, Joseph's tomb. His clothes were taken from him. The different garments were to be divided among the four soldiers, except one garment had no seam in it, so they cast lots to fulfill all scripture. But on top of that, he was stripped naked. We always portray it decently and in order, religiously. It wasn't decent and in order. He was stripped naked, the King of Kings. Shame, shame, shame. Unbelievable shame would have been there. In one reading I did, it said that, and if you read it, is there, that only Mary was the one closest to the cross, his mother. But the other women stood way back. Why? Because he was naked. And they loved him and they honored him. And this was absolutely, unbelievably awful, beyond words. But that's because he took our shame. It says that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they went and hid. Shame, guilt, and fear came on them. Jesus took that to the cross by becoming all of that for us. So when the enemy wants to hit us with guilt, we've done something wrong, or shame, remember what Jesus did. He took it. So we don't have to. We still have to go and make it right. You know, I'm not saying any of that, but there is a freedom and a healing and restoration that comes when you understand what he has done. You're able to go from, I just blew it real bad, to, Lord, thank you, but you took care of all of this. Lord, I didn't. My line has become, Lord, I did not represent you well there. Forgive me. Lord, teach me how to be like you. I need your grace, your empowerment to become who you've called me to be. Amen? So he bore our shame. Number 8, Jesus endured our rejection that we might enjoy his acceptance. So much rejection on the earth. People are being rejected, feeling insecure. Children that are being, I'm going to close, but children that are coming into the world in this season that we're alive, in this era, so many of them are going to battle massive rejection because they've had 1, 2, 3, 4 dads or moms. You know, the insecurity they will carry. But Jesus took all that. When Jesus became the fullness of sin, disease, sickness, the Father turned his back on him. And the incredible cry that came out of Jesus was, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, he took the rejection of all mankind that happened in the garden. He took it on himself. The Father turned his back and said, I can't look at him. I got to look away from sin. Can you imagine what? We can't, I don't think, imagine what that would have been like for Jesus, because he was one with his Father. But it had to happen so that we could be knit back in completely. The way was made open for mankind to come back into the presence of the Father without shame, rejection, and in full acceptance. After that, Jesus gave up the ghost, it says. He died. And they feel he died of a broken heart. Like his heart just ruptured in that moment. And 9, our old man died in Jesus that the new man might live in us. Romans 6, 6 and 7. Or we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So Jesus took care of the old corrupted sin nature in us and gave us his brand new, beautiful, sinless life. You talk about life. We have been given life abundantly. Why wouldn't we celebrate today? Easter Sunday is wonderful because we come out in resurrection life, but there's no Easter Sunday without this. And this was the greatest victory of ever. There ever will be throughout all of eternity. I think one day you and I will be in that throne room looking at everything that Jesus did for us, seeing the fullness of it and recognizing, dear Lord, thank you. We did a little bit of rejoicing on Good Friday instead of mourning, because you did it all already. It's not a day of mourning. It's a day of celebration because he set us free. Amen? Amen. Amen, Pastor. So, Father, we thank you that, Lord, all those 9 exchanges are ours. They're all ours. And, Lord, if we saw some today that we've not appropriated, Father, I pray that we would appropriate them all. Father God, they're ours. You gave your life for them so we, Lord, could be free. Lord, we thank you that your blood, your death, your blood brought us life. So, Lord, today for everyone here, I pray, Father, they would take a bold step forward into freedom. I pray that they would take a bold step forward into living, Lord, a life of victory, a life of blessing, a life of abundance. Father, a life of healing. Lord, everything you've provided, that by faith we would recognize it's ours. It belongs to us. It's our inheritance. I pray for everyone that they would recognize that Jesus has set them free to live a glorious life for him, telling others about Jesus and revealing what living with Jesus really looks like. So, Father, I just thank you now in Jesus' name. Have a blessed day today. Amen.